All right. And all the time, God is good. All right. So, do you guys remember where we left off last week? It was a pretty awesome week, I got to tell you. Because we looked at the boldness of the faith of the church, right? We saw that they boldly proclaimed the gospel together. We saw that they were one in heart and in mind, that in every aspect of who they were, the deepest part of themselves, their own individuality, that they all united that together, and they came together with a purpose of furthering the kingdom. And so whatever that took, they chose to make that a part of their life and a part of what they were doing. And so we see this beautiful example. And as we look at this example, we're brought to a place where it feels like Luke was looking and saying, who could I pick out to talk about that would fit this pattern? Who could I select as someone to tell the church about who would be a great example of what we've just seen? And so as he moves forward in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 38, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so here we are looking at a man named Joseph. But if I were to tell you, Joseph was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, you probably go, I don't remember reading that. Who do we remember? Barnabas. Barnabas is the name that we remember. And so it leads me to our first point. What's in a name? What is in a name? We love nicknames, don't we? We give each other nicknames. The closer we are to people, the more, you know, we kind of adapt those things. If you could walk up to your buddy and call him Johnny instead of Jonathan, you know you're pretty close, right? That they see you as someone that they are in, you know, closeness with. And as I was thinking about this nickname, as I was thinking about Barnabas, I went straight back to my high school years. In high school, I loved basketball. I mean, loved basketball. My free time was spent out on the court at the middle school down the road, and there were always pickup games, and I loved being over there with my friends, and I loved playing basketball. And about that time, there was a group called And One. It's a clothing group that came out that was all about street basketball, and they were the ones that you wanted to have their clothes. And as a promotional thing, because they were street basketball, not like NBA style, what they did is they went around the United States and they started gathering up the best street ballers and putting them together on this all-star team. And this all-star team would go around from city to city to different places, and they would play against the very best street ballers in places where it was known to be amazing, like New York City and Chicago. And so they would have this TV series, and I always loved watching them play. But there was one person who always stood out to me. His name was The Professor. Pretty cool name, right? Well, why would you call him The Professor? Because when The Professor got a hold of the basketball, he was going to take you to school. He was going to show you how to play basketball. His name was Jason Boucher. I had to look that part up because I don't know his name. The name that I knew was The Professor. Why? Because he could handle a basketball. And so that brought to a point in my mind that a good nickname is a nickname that somebody else gives you, right? You know, we always want to run around and tell people what our nicknames are, but really, if you're honest about it, the really, really good nicknames are the ones that other people give you. See, now I want you to imagine this, okay? I was a decent basketball player. Okay? But I, in my lifetime, was able to touch the rim. Touch, not dunk, touch the rim probably about 3 times. Okay? Now, if I walked out onto that basketball court and I told everybody, my name's The Professor and I'm going to take you guys to school, by the time these street ballers got done with me, they'd be calling me the preschooler and saying, go back to school, little one. Right? A good nickname is a nickname that has been given to you. It's something that people look at and they say, this is who you are. This is how I see you. And so as we look at Barnabas, we're looking at a man who the apostles looked at and said, you have got a way about you that encourages people. There is something special in you that brings about encouragement. And the thing of it is that our nickname becomes a part of who we are, right? If I were to have seen Jason Boucher on the street after that show, I would not have been running up going, Jason Boucher, oh my goodness, it's Jason. No, I'd have been like, that's the professor. That's the professor. That was his name. That was who he became. That was his identity. And so when we look at that and realize that, we realize it shapes everything that we think of. My first thought as I think of this is a man named Simon. Now, if I were to tell you that Simon wrote epistles, or if I were to tell you that Simon followed Jesus, you'd probably be like, oh, one of the lesser ones, right? He was one of the little guys, right? Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. We don't read the epistles of Simon, do we? We read the epistles of Peter. When the church talked about Peter, he was Peter. He wasn't Simon anymore. He was Peter. It became his identity. Jesus told him, because you recognize that I am the chief cornerstone, because you recognize I am the Messiah, you will be called the Rock. Because you will lead people to the Rock. You will plant them where they need to be, and they will grow there. And so Peter was never able to escape his identity. He was never able to escape the reality that God had called him to this special place as a leader to establish the church upon that solid rock. So the question is, what nickname would you receive? If we were handing out nicknames today and everybody got a nickname, what would you think that your nickname would be? Would you be a Barnabas? Would you be a son or daughter of encouragement? Would you be a son or daughter of joy, peace, love, grace, mercy? Or would you be different? Would you be Mara? Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for I am bitter. Would you be a son or daughter of resentment, anger, arrogance, pride? Or would you be this guy?
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Dory, no singing.
Oh, 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 oh,
Dory.
I love to swim in.
Dory.
When you want to swim, you want
see,
to
see, I'm gonna get stuck now with that song now it's in my head.
Sorry.
Are we Mr. Grumpy Gills? Are we the type of person that brings people down? Or are we the type of person, like, Dory to me is a Barnabas. She's such an encourager. Like, she can't remember anything, but hey, she's always moving and working to try to bring him up, to try and get Marlin that confidence to go find Nemo, to push through the adversity in his life. And the apostles gave that name to Joseph. And in telling them that his name was Barnabas, they set a role and a pattern for him in his life. So we have to ask ourselves, what made Joseph a Barnabas? Now, before we start really digging into what made Joseph a Barnabas, there's a point here, a little side point is, I don't know your terminology, this is extra, right? Okay? So this is an extra piece. But the thing that you look at when you see Barnabas is the thing that he does here in these verses is not really that extravagant. Okay? It's really not. I mean, you might say selling property is, you know, a big deal, but when you think about it in the terms of what you can do, I would say that just giving somebody something is probably like the lowest denominator of what you can do to help them, right? Because, you know, we always say the saying, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And yet what Barnabas does here is he looks around at his brothers and sisters and he says, man, there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of people scared. There's a lot of people who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from. And I've been blessed with this land. So you know what? I'm going to help put their minds at ease. I'm going to sell some land. And in selling this land, I'm going to be able to help them to be at peace and to be the kind of people who are able to live comfortably. Now, I want to point something out to you here too, because we often have this mindset that if God's not using us for something grand, that he's not using us. And we become discontented with our lives because we look and we say, you know what? God gave me the job that I have. And yeah, I guess I should be grateful. And yeah, I want all of these things. But, you know, I just really don't feel like he's using me up to my full potential. I don't feel like God is giving me everything that I am capable of. And so we start to feel this resentment inside of ourselves. And sometimes we can't even identify it. We can't speak that that's the problem, but it is. That's the problem. We're resentful to God because we feel like he's not using us to our full potential. And if there is anyone who could have felt that way, Joseph Barnabas was that way. Here is a guy that had everything going for him. Number one, he was wealthy, right? We always think of that as some super blessing, don't we? I've got a lot to give. I have this wealth. I have this situation where I can take care of people. He also was trained in the Word of God. If you notice, Luke makes it a point to tell us that Joseph was a Levite. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it says, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce blessings in his name as they still do to this day. You see, Barnabas was equipped his whole life to be an evangelist. He was equipped his whole life for this moment, to go out and to spread the gospel message, to share with people the blessing of God. Jesus even said that he would be a double blessing. Let me see here. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 52 through 53, it says, he said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So you've got this guy that is perfectly equipped for evangelism. You've got this guy that's perfectly equipped to do amazing and great things for God. And yet, where is the first place we see him? The first place we see him is doing the simple things. There's a group of people here who are in anxiety and fear over their future. I'm going to give what I have. I'm going to sell a little bit of property, and I'm going to be faithful in that area. See, a lot of times what we don't realize is that as we think God should be using us for something bigger, something more grand, is that God expects us to use what we have now and then brings blessings about from that. In Luke 19, verses 16 through 19, this is a story of the mina or the talents, however your translation puts it. And this is the point at which the master has come back and they're giving account. And it says, the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned you 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. You see, they weren't all given 5 cities to manage. Did the master know that they were capable of managing cities? Absolutely. Absolutely. He knew what they were capable of. He knew their potential. But if we are not faithful in the little things that God gives us, how can we expect him to give us more? If we are resentful of the places that he puts us now, how can he expect us not to be resentful when he gives us the very best and asks us to move in these things? Barnabas did not go out looking for something big. He didn't go out looking for them to just send him out and say, "Well, Barnabas, you're properly prepared. We really like you. Just go and we're gonna send you and set you up with this big ministry." He started in the small places. We see him do this again in Acts chapter 9. Verses 26 through 30, it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples." This is speaking of Saul. "But they were afraid of him and not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." Now once again, we're looking at Barnabas. He has already encouraged the church by taking care of their needs. And now we're looking at him again, looking at Saul. He's seen the light, quite literally. He's come to the Lord. He's in a place where he's ready to be a part of the kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom, and everybody is terrified of him. They want nothing to do with him. And yet Barnabas, the encourager, right? You remember we talked about they came together of one heart and one mind? That's what Barnabas did here. He said, "I have seen the fruits of Jesus in this man, and I am going to trust him. I'm going to trust in his heart. I'm going to believe that he's changed, and I'm going to take a leap of faith." Don't you think Barnabas put his own name on the line to bring Saul to the apostles? He risked everything. If Saul had been an infiltrator and all of the apostles had been thrown in jail, what would that have looked like? And yet Barnabas, being an encourager, recognized the heart of Saul and said, "You know what? I'm in. Let me take you. Let me give you the opportunity to talk to these men. And let's see where things go." Paul becomes a great minister, so good at what he does that they threaten to kill him. And things move on. And finally, we get to the point where Barnabas gets that call. The church is scattered. Everyone's in fear, running for their lives, and the apostles tap Barnabas on the shoulder. And they say, "There's work for you to do, Barnabas. We want to send you to Antioch." And I want you to read this with me in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. "News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace that God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain in the truth to the Lord, to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for the whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now I want to point this out because an encourager doesn't stop encouraging. You notice he was faithful in the little things. He was faithful in encouraging by giving when it was needed. He was faithful in encouraging by giving Saul a chance. And now God had called him to something great, to go and become this encourager and minister over this congregation in Antioch. And anybody who looks at this would say, God is moving in him. Look, people are coming to the Lord. People are being saved. But that wasn't enough for Barnabas. It's not like a lot of times ministers, when their ministries start struggling, that's when they start looking out for help. You know, our numbers are dropping. I need help. I need somebody to come alongside me. I need support. That wasn't Barnabas at all. Barnabas was successful. The Lord was blessing the work that he was doing, and yet he remembered Saul. He remembered what God was doing with Saul, and he said, I'm going to go get him, and I'm going to make him a part of this work because I know God has got great plans for him. You know where we got our nickname? We got our nickname because Barnabas was willing to go get Saul and to do the work of the kingdom. It was in Antioch that we were first named Christians, because the world looked and they saw little Christs, people who were walking and reflecting who Jesus was. We got our nickname because of the nature of what Paul and Barnabas were doing there in Antioch. He encouraged others, and through that encouragement, the world saw for the first time who God's disciples really were. But Barnabas had one more major figure to influence. In Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas, left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, here we are, and Barnabas has been an encourager of Paul. He looked at his weakness, he looked at his shortcomings, and he said, I am going to trust in what God is going to do in you. And here we end up in the exact same position with a young man named John Mark. We don't know why John Mark turned back. We don't know exactly what happened there in Pamphylia that caused him to walk away. But John Mark had a moment of weakness, a moment of shortcoming. And when you look at the way that Barnabas responded to it, come on, we got work to do. He encouraged John Mark. Paul didn't see the value in John Mark at the time, but he would. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to my ministry. Isn't that something? This one person who Paul was ready to give up on was someone that he said, I cannot do the ministry of God without him. Bring him to me for help. And if Barnabas hadn't got a hold of him, we would not have the Gospel of Mark. Brothers and sisters, the simple truth is that God has called us all to be encouragers. He's called all of us to serve a purpose. And you see, the beauty of looking at Barnabas is Barnabas didn't do it in one way. It wasn't like he just wrote cards. It wasn't like he just gave money or just preached or just... He had this mentality of, I want to do whatever I can do to further the kingdom of God, and whatever I have to do to help other people to get to that place, I want to be a part of it. You see, really what being a Barnabas comes down to is faith. Having faith in what God is doing in you and having faith in what God is going to do in others. We're going to stumble, each and every one of us. We're going to fall short. We're all going to not live up to the nickname of Christian. But you see, the beauty of it is when we're encouragers, when we're Barnabases, when we're people that live and reflect the nature of Jesus Christ, others reach their full potential. Can you imagine a world without Paul? Can you imagine a world without John Mark? If we are not encouraging each other, who knows who the next John Mark is? He could be sitting in this room right now. Be an encourager. Build each other up. Live together in that bond of unity and recognize what God is trying to do through all of us. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to thank you so much for who you are. I want to thank you that you sent your Son to set the example and the pattern. And Lord, I just pray that today that our nicknames will be ones that honor you, that we will recognize that it is our actions, it is our choices that define what our nickname will be. And Lord, help us to reflect you in such a way that the world looks and sees you in us. And whether they like it or not, can't help but recognize the good that you're doing through us. Lord, I want to ask today that you will make us all encouragers, that you will make us the kind of people that will build each other up, come alongside of each other when we fall, be examples. Lord, you've done so many great things through so many broken people. Help us to remember that nobody is too broken for you to repair, and give us the strength to stand beside them and to build them up as they become who you've called them to be. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.